Good morning. When your pastor called to ask if I would come and talk to you this morning, I was very, very, very excited to do so. It gives me the opportunity to say directly to you thank you for the support of individuals and your congregation as a whole over the years for United Community Ministries, which I have the honor to head. Both, you know, you've given us your time and your talents and your treasure, and I can't thank you enough. When I think about what it means for our community to have solutions, there couldn't be anything more important, I believe, than the power of a community of prayer. And I've been asked to ask you to give a special prayer for George Klon, who's in UVA Hospital for very serious health problems. And I know you, as a group, as a congregation, will send the power of your combined prayer for his wellness. UCM has been a member of this community now for almost 40 years. It was started by a group of churches, including people from this church, to feed the neighbors that were hungry, to clothe them, to provide those basic necessities of life. And here, 40 years later, almost 40 years later, meeting those basic necessities remains very much the core, the heart of what UCM is about. But we also have now created programs that not only help people identify skills they have within themselves, but put them in a place in their lives where they're able to learn new skills to bring their lives to more independent living so that they indeed are fed. We feed them, but we also hope to teach them to fish, and we also hope that they will teach others to do so. And we do find as people become stabilized in their lives and have more for themselves and their families, they are in a better position to then reach out to others and anxious to do so. So it's a great stream of thought throughout. In the past year alone, United Community Ministries has provided services to 9,000 individuals, representing about 4,000 households right here in Southeast Fairfax County. It's a lot of people in need, and as would not surprise you, that need is growing very significantly. Of those people, about 7,700 of them did need emergency services, and those needs were indeed met. I've been with UCM now a year. I feel like I've been with UCM for a long, long time because it is such a good match and a good home for me professionally and personally. But I have spent most of my life working with prisoners in jails and prisons and people coming out of prisons, and very significantly with their families. So I have, through that work, seen some great personal tragedy. I've seen some heartbreaks and felt some heartbreaks that one would think would crush the human spirit. But what I've learned is that the human spirit is incredibly strong and incredibly resilient. And while there is despair in this world, there's also compassion. And there are also people that want from their heart to make sure that others have what they need. And I think I can safely say that those that are here this morning fall in that category and really care about their fellow human being. And it does keep us all going. And I thought that today's opening prayer was so perfect in an analogy of all of this. When we listen and we think about the bounty of the earth and what it provides for us, the words were so evocative. Couldn't you smell and feel the oranges, the ripe oranges in the opening prayer, and feel the peacefulness? And we know that when we are good stewards of the earth and we don't take too much and we put something back, we continue to get something in return. Yet we do live in a world in which not everybody shares in that bounty. And I know that in the short time we have together this morning, and certainly in our entire lifetimes, we will never come to a full and complete understanding as to why that is. We have some good ideas, But there are people in the world, some of us have more than we need, some have just the right amount, and more have very, very little. Most importantly, they don't have the sense of security of knowing that they will have food on their table or medical care or perhaps a roof over their head tomorrow. And in that thought comes the message for today. Every one of us here wants to be sure that people are taken care of, that everybody is taken care of. But those who are people of faith also know that Jesus said that the two greatest laws were to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And it's not always easy to do. It's hard to care as much that the stranger has food on his table as you care that your own family has food on the table. And it isn't always easy, but it is indeed what we have to strive for and what we have to do together, because only together can we do it. And I think that what I find and have found over the years, that is the most debilitating part of what we work with, is the underlying insecurity and anxiety that comes with not having enough. It can create a sense of despair and a sense of depression that makes people immobilized and unable to move forward and to learn and to have hope. And that certainly is not necessarily connected to the size of one's bank account, but not having basic necessities does make it hard. And what you can do, and what we try to do every day, is to reach out and say to people, literally, figuratively, in every way we can, you are not alone. There is hope. Lean on us for a while, because guess what? Tomorrow we may need to lean on you. So there is indeed the knowledge that we are responsible for others, but we also do often receive back, and we never know when that's going to be. I am moved every day. In my entire life, I felt like I never had a choice. I was going to be in a profession where I was able to help people directly every day. It just wasn't a choice. It's what I've known since I was a small child, growing up in a Methodist church. That was all about caring and reaching out to others and doing the right thing, and it was just part of who I was. It still is. And I am privileged to be able to do that. And I'm privileged to be able to work with people who are full of compassion. But I'm also privileged because every person who walks the door of UCM brings with him or her a message, a lesson. They are so filled with non-material gifts and riches, and we just have to listen. And we have to understand that these are human beings, and we all need to know that we all feel and think the same thoughts, and we all want the best for our families, and we all want lives that are filled with meaning. Being able to reach out and to help others comes in so many forms. I would suspect that most people in this room have a lot of volunteer hours in your lives and have over the years, will in the future. I can't think of anything better. Many of you make donations to organizations. You find ways to reach out, and you find ways to help others, and you find ways to know how that feels. And I would urge you to continue, obviously, to do that, but also to listen to the lessons that we learn from every single person we meet. Many people, when they think about United Community Ministries, think of two things. They think of our food pantry, and they think of our thrift store, the back porch. And I just want to take a really few minutes this morning and talk to you a little bit about some of the other programs that we do so that you can have an understanding of what's happening here in our community, programs that are only possible because of people like you. We put a lot of emphasis on our early childhood programs. We do run the Bell Center, the Bryant Early Learning Center, which is a wonderful child care program. that is so rich in multiculturalism. It's rich in a mix of socioeconomic backgrounds, full-fee families, subsidized families. It's a safe place for the teenage parents who are trying to finish their high school education at Bryant High School to leave their children. It's an exciting place. I love every time I walk into Bell Center, I leave just feeling so renewed, sometimes a little drained of energy because there's a lot of little children and they'll do that to you, but also really renewed and filled with energy again. We run a Healthy Families, two Healthy Families programs, which is a national program. We run two of them here in Fairfax County. It is a program designed specifically to reduce and eliminate child abuse and neglect. Very high-risk families, first-time parents, and it's an intensive home visitation program. And I will say, out of the about 500 families that we served in the last year through that program, there was one case of child abuse and one in which there was immediate intervention. For a very high-risk group of families, that is a phenomenal success, just phenomenal, and one we should always feel very good about happening in this community, a community that clearly cares. We do have an employment program that does all the things that you think employment programs should do and is really busy these days since the Virginia Employment Commission decided to close its office in Fairfax County. So our folks are really busy helping people find jobs and build skills and improve their employment situation. Most of the people who come to UCM for help are employed. Many of them are employed in two or more jobs, but they're employed in low-wage jobs and have not been able to keep up. So we try to also improve people's employment situations. And last but definitely not least are our neighborhood initiative programs. It's pretty straightforward to be able to talk to somebody about the need for a program that feeds the hungry. People understand that. It's a little trickier to talk about programs that improve neighborhoods and understand the direct and immediate impact that that has. We have three programs in two communities, one in the Sacramento Neighborhood Center that has the number of neighborhoods. These are all low-income neighborhoods. The other at Creekside Village, which is formerly Jana Lee. And to be able to identify and strengthen leadership skills in both youth and adult in those neighborhoods has been remarkable. I think it is one of the most transformative things I've ever been involved with. People who begin to understand that they have the power to do something about things as huge as gang violence in their neighborhoods, or things like getting involved in PTA with their families and their children's schools, which is not as easy as it seems. Most of the kids in these neighborhoods are bused far out of their neighborhoods for school. Parents don't have transportation, or parents may not have had a great experience with school themselves, so it's a little intimidating. We've got a lot more involvement. We have families that have gotten together at Sacramento Center, gotten a school bus moved to a safer location. They didn't know before they had the power to do that. We've just celebrated nearly 200 youth and adult volunteers, primarily children and teenagers, who just put in 18,000 hours of volunteer time to make hats for and deliver hats to children in hospitals who are there for cancer. In a neighborhood that didn't know it had power before, 18,000 hours over a few months of volunteer time is indeed transformative. So I think that what this teaches people is if they can transform their neighborhoods, they can transform their lives. And that's such a key to just everything that we do. I don't really expect that you take away with you the details of all of our programs today. But I hope that you do take away the idea that for change, we must look at a whole person, a whole community, and that includes each and every one of us. All of us experience life that is full of family and work and cultural interests and all kinds of commitments, things we want to do, things we may not want to do, but our lives are busy. And that goes for the people who come to us for help too. Their lives are busy. They have all the obligations that we have, and then they have some added stresses. So we help them to get through those times. Some of you may have heard me say that in recent months we have gone from an average of 60 people a day needing food to an average of 85 to 100 people a day needing food. Many days are far greater than that. And it is truly because of our neighbors like you that we are able to get the food to distribute. When I think about speaking to this group today, and I do think about the lesson that we need to love our neighbors as ourselves, we also have learned through Scripture, through what we've been taught through our lives, that neighbor, the word neighbor, does not have boundaries. We're taught that we need to give help to, receive help from, even people we don't know, people who are strangers to us, people who are our enemies. And that indeed is how we build community, and that indeed is how we meet needs, and that is indeed how we strengthen individuals and families and neighborhoods and larger communities. We are about reducing human suffering. We are about creating hope, because when there is hope, there is energy. When there is hope, there is a desire to plan for tomorrow. There is an ability to plan for tomorrow, I really should say. If you are paralyzed with anxiety about today, looking tomorrow is hard. But when you understand that your child will eat tonight, and maybe you'll get to eat too, because sometimes it's a choice, then you have energy and you have nutrition to work, and your child has the ability to learn. And what that means for the future is truly, again, transformative. It's a wonderful and exciting concept. We have been taught to feed the hungry, heal the sick, visit the prisoner. And as I see it, those aren't really optional directions. As people of faith, we understand that they are indeed the core of what Jesus has taught us. That is the expectation for each of us that we will do that. And you, as a marvelous group of human beings that reaches out not just to UCM but other organizations in the community that are doing extraordinary work, partners that we are so glad to be with and to have work with us, and the work you do directly is just truly phenomenal. The example that you set, the example that you learn from, is of such value. And I really appreciate the opportunity to say thank you, to discuss, yes, there are tremendous needs in our community, and they grow greater and greater, but there is tremendous hope. There is tremendous numbers of ideas and resources, and please, always, our doors are open for your ideas and your energy and your thinking and your prayers and whatever you have that you want to give to the community through UCM. So thank you for that. Thank you to those who helped start this extraordinary organization. And thank you for those who continue to have it work today. Thank you for inviting me. I'm really very grateful to be here. Thank you.